Thank you, Robert Mankoff, cartoon editor of The New Yorker magazine, because every week you cast off comedy gold from your desk. And I don't know whether it's a time issue or a space issue or a crack in your funny bone that you decide not to air to print some of these cartoons. We love them here at the BPP. You know what? We reap the benefits. So let's get to the Friday Funnies, rejected New Yorker cartoons. Friend of the show, Matthew Diffie, New Yorker cartoonist and editor of the Rejection Collection, is back. Hi, Matthew.
Hello.
You brought along a guest?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Eric Lewis.
All right, Eric. Now, this is your first time going through one of these experiences. You know, we had these dramatic reenactments of your cartoons, these audio reenactments, because it's radio and nobody can see them. Jacob, please.
Are you going to start?
The devil leads a woman into an apartment. Inside the apartment is a ripped recliner, a potted cactus, and a table with legs made of log. On the table, a lava lamp, and one other lamp that resembles a spacecraft. On the walls, a framed picture of pigs playing poker. Next to it, a calendar with a picture of a naked woman. The devil is saying, "Enjoy your stay, Miss Stewart."
So
how could that have not gotten into The New York?
Incredibly tacky cartoon and the devil leading Martha Stewart into this hideous room. So did you have in your mind what personal hell would look like for Martha Stewart?
I did, exactly. That was the inspiration for the cartoon. I've since sort of changed my views about where she's going. I think she's destined for the big upstairs, but the idea for it came before her big, crisis and prison and all
that
stuff.
You have to tell them the secret part of the story here.
That's true. There is a top secret part of it, which is I used to work for Martha Stewart as product designer.
So is there a bit of getting you back, Martha? Was it a pleasant experience?
It was, actually. Martha was really super nice. And
you met her?
I did.
And she was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
And
so my question is, if you're working for Martha Stewart Design, did you, because the picture looks quite a bit like her, did you used to just doodle Martha Stewart?
For the
for
altar,
hours and hours.
The altar that I keep in my apartment.
To her.
There's lots of paintings in my own blood.
this is a really, really good, funny one. We all laughed really hard. Why didn't this make it in The New Yorker?
I'm not entirely sure. I was pretty new at the time that I submitted it. I think Bob liked it and maybe pitched it to David Rebnick, the editor of the magazine. And for whatever reason, it didn't make it. But I think Bob liked it. So
there are just a lot of cartoons. Bob says he looks at 1,000 a week for 15 spots. So
when you're drawing Martha Stewart, what characteristics do you want to make sure that she had so that we knew that it was Martha Stewart?
Not sure. I guess the hairstyle, the sort of Patagonia jacket coverall type thing.
Yeah, the bean boots were the tip-off for me, the little duck shoes. I was like, is that Martha? That's Martha Stewart. Was there anything in the frame that you left out? We talked about that this room has got a lava lamp and a recliner with a big rip in the side and pigs playing poker in the picture.
I can't really think of something I didn't draw, but the tragedy is that I was trying to draw dogs playing poker. So I'm still working on my canine anatomy a little bit.
I thought they were playing bridge. I couldn't tell from the drawing.
Can I ask you what you used to design at Martha Stewart?
I designed garden products for her Kmart line. She was particularly fond of hose hanger that I designed for them.
I didn't wake up this morning and think I'd hear hose hanger.
Yeah.
I actually have a little Martha Stewart gardening bag with a little bee on it, which I from this collection.
Did you have any particular moments with her that you remember?
That you can share over the air?
I do, actually. It was something she said when I had been told, not by her, but by my boss at the time, to design some garden edging, which is like stuff that separates the pathway from
the
garden.
Sure, like a lattice, kind of.
A little, like bricks are often used. And I was told to design like fake plastic bricks to make it look like it was three bricks maybe in a row, and you set them down. And when she saw it at a meeting, she was like, "No crap." And I thought that's such a good mantra for life. It's like, no crap. And I really love her for helping wean America off crap, if yes. You know, if that can be done.
Should have put some little three brick segments in the drawing then. Make it even worse.
See, exactly. Little wink to Martha, who has an office in this building, by the way. Thought I'd let you know. Yeah. Okay, so watch yourself in the elevator on the way out.
And the New Yorker used to be in this building as
that's
well.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Matthew, your cartoon is up next. I can't wait to hear the audio version because there's no text with this one, really.
Yeah. Well, there's in the cartoon there is, but no caption. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two people are dressed in identical long coats with fur around the hoods, sleeves, and bottoms. They are both wearing large snow boots, which cover their legs. Their faces are hard to see, and very little skin is visible. The caption under one says Eskimo. The caption under the other says Eskimo transvestite.
I mean, there must be one up there, right? Just one person in that world who's not a little confused. Community. Yeah.
See, I like this one because it makes me have to use my imagination. What is under their coat?
Oh, yeah, sure. It just occurred to me that would be a very boring culture to be, or an unsatisfying culture, I think, to be a transvestite. not a lot you can do.
My question, though, is when you were drawing it, you know, since a transvestite, somebody who cross-dresses, how did you know the one on the right was a transvestite after you drew it? Is there some clue in there I can go back and look and say?
It's in his eyes, if you look.
It's in his eyes.
Her eyes.
Her eyes, I suppose.
It's mascara? Did you make the lashes just a little
just a tiny
longer?
Bit. It's shaded somewhat by the cowl of the coat.
I mean, they're always. It's always the caption that kills you, but that's one that really, it's really the caption, because the drawing, you know, is somewhat vanilla, straightforward, but then the caption is just murderous.
Yeah. That's the hope, I guess, that the one little element turns it from being not funny to funny.
Did you get this idea from watching people bundled up on the streets in New York? Were you in Alaska? Were you at an Inuit picnic or something?
I wish I could remember how I got it. I don't know if I doodled my way into it. Was, you know, drawing an Eskimo? Probably not. I was just thinking.
How could that not get into the New Yorker?
Is it transvestite? Have you ever seen the word transvestite in the New Yorker cartoons?
I actually did a cartoon that featured a transvestite in the New Yorker before, so I know that boundary has been broken. I had a guy in a bar, sort of a very rough-looking guy, but he's wearing a dress, you know, downing a beer, and he's talking to his buddy, saying, "I think I'm turning into my father." several levels of complication there. So I know they will do that. I don't know. I guess I think it was just too many that week, or maybe I had something else that was better that week, or I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm glad we have them.
You never know, yeah.
So everybody, we're going to put up the two cartoons on our website and our blog, npr.org/Bryant Park. Yes, probably the only place in NPR you can see transvestite, Eskimos, and Martha Stewart accompanied by the devil. Yeah. Eric and Matthew, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.